We turn again to the book of Lamentations, to the third chapter, and we want to draw your attention to the passage that we read, and in particular, verses 22 and 23. What wonderful words, refreshing and inspiring, we have here in the midst of trouble. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We want, first of all, to have prayer again and to seek help from the Lord as we come to his word today. Our gracious, loving Father, we thank thee for an open Bible, for civil and religious liberty, for our glorious Protestant heritage, and for all that thou hast done for us, even down through the years. We say, great is thy faithfulness. And O God, as we come now to thy word, we pray that our focus will be upon thyself, that we will contemplate what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he means to us. And our Father, we pray that our hearts might be drawn out after him, and that as a result of being here today, we will be truly blessed and drawn closer to thyself. Do bless thy word now. Give help from heaven. Pour out thy spirit and bless the preacher and the hearer. And may all that's said today redound to thy glory. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The words that I want to emphasize this morning, or this afternoon, I'm used saying this morning back in Lurgan, but this afternoon I want to emphasize three words out of these two verses. New every morning. What a statement. New every morning. To get something new has to be one of the most interesting and enjoyable experiences in life. We think of the child with its new toy. It will spend endless hours playing and enjoying that new toy. It will be a continual source of fascination for the child, at least for a period. Likewise, the woman who buys a new coat, she'll be fascinated with that, or a new dress, and will spend quite considerable time in the mirror looking at herself before she ventures out into the public, making sure that all is right and proper. And then there is the gentleman with his new gadget. Maybe it's an electrical item, or let me say, even a new car. And he's taken up with it, and he thinks there's nothing like it. And he will invite the family and the neighbors and friends to come to see it, and will explain all the gadgetry on that vehicle. Something new excites, doesn't it? And the experience of it is something that thrills the person who gets it. But having said all of that, Let me say there is a problem. There is a problem. Because new things quickly degenerate and they become old. And the child's toy soon becomes commonplace, it's discarded, and it no longer thrills like it used to. The same with the coat or the dress, and even the man's new car. After a while, it begins to show wear and tear, whereas at the beginning, he would have wiped every speck of dust from it with carefulness. As time goes by, that dust seems to stay somewhat longer, and the car begins to show wear and tear. What a great contrast. What a contrast there is to all of this and the mercies and the compassions of the Lord. They are new every morning. These verses, as I've indicated already, are tucked away here in the little book of Lamentations. And Lamentations, by its very name, is not a book of joy. It is Jeremiah's heartfelt lament after the third siege and subsequent fall of Jerusalem. From the beginning of the book, we see the heartfelt mourning and crying of God's servant because of the destruction of God's people. They had departed from the Lord. They had sinned against God. And they had not repented. And God had warned them. And now God is fulfilling his word of judgment in allowing them to be taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon as they suffer this exile for 70 years, all as a result of their unfaithfulness to God. And their unfaithfulness stands in stark contrast to the faithfulness of God to them. God was faithful over the years, the centuries, but they were unfaithful. And they turned their backs upon the Lord. It was during this lament that a greater voice than Jeremiah's is heard. A greater voice, it is the voice of Jesus Christ. The voice of the Lord Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior. It is recognized even from the cross. I refer you to chapter 1 and verse 12, where we read the words, "Is it nothing to you, all ye who pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." Yes, there is an application to Jeremiah here as well. He was the lamenting, weeping prophet. And he would call to those who passed by, "See if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow." And yet, it had its greatest fulfillment in the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And upon that tree, as the Savior hung there, the people passed by. They wagged their heads. They cursed and they swore. And they mocked. And the Lord would say, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, look, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow." Because there was no sorrow like the sorrow Christ bore on the cross. There was no pain, agony like it, either before or since. The Lord's sufferings on Calvary can never be plummeted by mankind. Oh yes, we read about it. Oh yes, we think about it. We meditate upon it. But we can never plumb the depths of the sorrows of Christ upon the cross of Calvary, when God poured out his wrath upon his Son, when he bore the judgment of our sins upon himself on the tree. And there on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I tell you, there is no sorrow so deep as the sense of a God-forsaken soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ felt forsaken on the cross when the Father turned his back, and when Christ was alone. What deep sorrow! None of the ransomed will ever know how deep were those waters crossed, or how dark was the night the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. And so in this mournful book, in this long lament, we have shafts of gospel light and gospel comfort and gospel hope. Is it not out of the depths that we cry to the Lord? The psalmist did. "Lord, from the depths to thee I cried." And when the psalmist cried out of the very depths and agonies of his soul, God heard him. And God delivered him. And he brought him up out of the miry pit. And he set his feet upon the rock, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Thank God for that blessed experience. And I know many of you have had that experience, but perhaps others haven't. And you're still in darkness of sin, on the broad road to hell, walking in iniquity, living for the world without God, without Christ, without hope. Thank God there's hope today. Thank God there's mercy with the Lord. Thank God he's faithful and he's able to forgive the deepest dyed sinner, the vilest sinner who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. My friend, have you received that pardon? He's a pardoning God. He says, "Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more forever." We don't deserve that. And the New Testament tells us that he will abundantly pardon. Oh, there's abundant grace. There's abundant forgiveness. There's abundant mercy. There's abundant love. God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what a story, what a message, even from this little book of Lamentations, pointing us to the cross, to Christ, God's well-beloved and only begotten Son, who loved us and who gave himself for us. Thank God for such a Savior. And as I've said, it was during Jeremiah's deep and heartfelt lament that these words shine out. This gospel shines forth, and praise God, in this dark world of sin. And in your dark world of sin, and in the darkness in which you walk, praise God, there's a light that shines from heaven. And it's the light of God's truth. It's the light of Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Friend, you don't need any longer to walk in darkness. You can have the light of life. You can have Christ today by simply opening your heart, repenting of your sin, telling God, like the publican, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you can be born again, start a new life, begin for heaven, walk heaven's road in the assurance that one day it will take you home to glory, to be with him forever and ever. What a gospel! What a word! Nothing else in this world can change a man's life. Not religion. And there are many religions in the world today. But there's only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. There's a great effort to try and bring all religions together in these days, and to make men believe that there's something good in them all, and that everybody should respect each other's beliefs. It's a lot of bunkum, because there's only one way to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I can assure you today, on the authority of this book, that if you come that way, he'll not cast you out. He'll receive you. He'll bring you into his banqueting house. And his banner over you will be love. And you'll be able to sing, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. What grace? What love? Don't miss it. Seek the Lord today while he is to be found. Despite the sorrow of this dark, lamenting book, despite the sorrow, we thank God for the words of encouragement, even words of encouragement in time of trouble. See, part of the problem with many of God's people, is that they suffer from what is called the law of diminishing returns. For example, using the child's toy again as an illustration, the child excited by the new toy can quickly leave it for something else. The lady with the new coat can discard it for something else that's new. And the man with the new car will eventually dispose of it for something new again. The law of diminishing returns. As time goes on, people need something else to excite them, something more. I think of the drunkard Maybe he got some excitement when he took his first bottle of booze. And as time went on, that one bottle did not seem any more to satisfy or to excite. And therefore, he began to increase the number of bottles that he would drink until he ends up being a drunkard. Same with the drugs. A young person takes a drug and feels excited by it, perhaps. And then as time goes on, that one drug does no longer excite, and they take extra and then more again until they become addicts. Lives wrecked and torn. Lives destroyed by both booze and drugs. And we warn you today about these great evils which destroy the body and destroy the soul, and one day will cause both body and soul to be cast into hell. That's the destruction of these things, in spite of the bright advertisements, in spite of the bright lights that surround all the advertisements and all the things that go with such a wonderful life, so-called, of boozing and drugs. Don't be deceived. Be not deceived. These things will drag you down into everlasting darkness, into the fires of the judgment of God, a lost soul forevermore. How sad, how tragic. How tragic. With the passing of time, there is a danger, isn't there, even for the Christian, to lose the luster and the excitement and the thrill that they once enjoyed, having come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I cast my memory back many years now to when I heard the gospel as a young teenager along the border district on both sides of the border. And I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior at that time. God convicted me of my sin. I saw myself without God and without hope. And he gave me grace to repent of my sin and to come to him just as I was at the age of 14. And oh, the thrill and the joy and the excitement of those days. The wonderful experience of going to meetings and listening to the word and drinking it in and allowing that word to shape my life, to control my emotions, to help me along my journey. The thrill of reading the Bible and studying the scriptures, times of prayer, meeting with God's people. You remember that too, don't you? You remember well those days. But like these gadgets we were talking about, maybe the thrill of it has worn off. The excitement has dimmed a bit. Maybe in reality, you're not the Christian you used to be. You're not the bright, shining light for the Lord that you once were. You've lost out. Christian things have just become mundane. Oh, how we need a fresh touch from God today. We're reminded that his mercies are new every morning. New. Now, if the child's toy lasted forever, supposing it was new every morning, the coat was new every morning, and the car was new every morning from January to December every year, what a difference that would make. What a difference it would make, but it does, it's not the case. But I want to tell you this, the mercies of God are new every morning. The blessing of God is new every morning. God's word comes afresh to us every day. There's manna from heaven. When the Israelites woke up in the wilderness every morning, there was fresh manna there for them. And they went out and they gathered. And they gathered sufficient for the day. And that kept them going and gave them strength and help and encouragement for the day. My friend, let us gather every morning, every day, the mercies of God, the love of God, the compassions of the Lord. Let us experience them. Let us enjoy them. For our Lord never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And thank God, salvation never changes. My Savior never changes. Do you love him more now than you did? That's the way it should be. And if you don't love Christ more today than you did in the past, then there's something wrong. And you should take time to examine your life and to examine where you are with the Lord. And by doing that, God is faithful, and he will show you where you've gone wrong and bring you to that place where you'll acknowledge it, repent of it, and be restored again into the favor of the Lord. Thank God for the mercies of God. They are new every morning. They are fresh every evening. Every new day is an opportunity for you to walk with God as Enoch walked with God. Every new day is an opportunity for you to please God as Enoch pleased the Lord. Every new day is an opportunity for you to love the Lord like David loved the Lord. He said in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he heard my cry. Every new day is an opportunity for you to trust the Lord like Abraham trusted God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And every new day is an opportunity for you to serve the Lord as the Apostle Paul served him. For to me to live is Christ, he could say, and to die is gain. Oh, friends, let us acknowledge today how much we need him. And cast ourselves completely at his feet. Oh, I know life's not always easy. There are trials and there are difficulties. But one of our greatest human weaknesses is focusing continually on our problems and on our cares. There are people like that. Perhaps they can't help it. They cry out oftentimes, why me when trouble comes? You see, David experienced this feeling many, many times. And yet, he was the man after God's own heart. As you read the Psalms, You read David crying out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why is my spirit disquieted within me?" You look at the Psalms, the number of them that start off in a depressed state of mind, in a troubled state of spirit. Why? Because in those Psalms at their beginnings, he's focusing on himself. And then as you read those Psalms and you get near the end, his focus is altered and he's focusing on the Lord. And the Psalm ends with praising the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. Oh, what a change. It does you good to read the Psalms. I'm sure you've done that many times. Notice what I've said. The number of Psalms where David begins with somewhat of a lament and ends with great praise. Oh, may you experience that every day in your life. May you look to Christ like the psalmist did. Focus on him and trust him every day. New every morning. God will always fulfill his promises towards his people. And when the Bible says his mercies are new every morning, he'll fulfill that to us even today. He will. Remember that no circumstance in which you find yourself will ever catch God off guard. Never. He knows all about it. He knows all about our struggles. He'll guide till the day is done. There is no friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. What a friend he is. Be assured then that his mercies and his compassions are new every morning. That's the way we should live every day, with our focus on him, with our joy in the Savior, and taken up with our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that will be the case with each one in this meeting house today.